Welcome to Pioneer Church. We exist to be a gathering of kingdom people with kingdom passions who fulfill Jesus' kingdom purpose. The following message is from our Sunday morning worship gathering. To learn more about Pioneer Church, go online to www.pioneernc.com.
So God has designed the body of Christ a certain way, and we're going to talk about that, and I will tell you, go ahead and tell you. If you have been here through this series, you know we've done a pretty thorough job of talking about what it means to be the church and the body of Christ and why membership to a body matters. And so I just want to let you know today is D-Day. It's decision day for a lot of us. I'm going to ask you to do some things today to apply what we've heard over the last several weeks. And so today's last point, we've talked about the authority of the local church, we've talked about the acceptance of the local church, we've talked about the accountability that we find in membership of a local church, but today's going to be a little bit different because it's really not going to talk about us personally as much as it is how we benefit everybody else in the church. And so here's going to be our main point for today. The local church membership matters because it establishes God's designed anatomy to effectively and specifically fulfill God's kingdom purposes in this part of the world. That's a long point, but I promise you we'll break it down today. So I've entitled today's message, An Anatomy of Action. You know, your body can do all kinds of things, right? Or your body can fail to do a lot of things. You know, you can get up every morning and lay on the couch all day and be inactive, and you will bear the consequences for that, right? God created us to move, created us to do things, to fulfill certain purposes. So would you all agree this morning that while most humans have the same parts, not everyone's anatomy is exactly the same? Let me give you an example. Y'all know who Arnold Schwarzenegger is, right? We don't have his anatomy. Nobody in here at least does, right? When I was about 21, I thought I did. I don't. You see, Arnold Schwarzenegger has a specific bone structure, and he has specific genetics in his body where he can pump a lot more blood to his muscles than most people can. He probably has some steroids in there too, but he just has a different makeup of his body. That's why he looks differently. But God puts the right things in every one of his people to accomplish everything that he wants them to. And we talked about this last week. We see this concept in Ephesians chapter 4. Let me show you what we talked about last week just to bring you to mind again. This is what Paul said about the body of Christ. Rather, we speak the truth in love. We're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, who is into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it's equipped, meaning not all of them are the same, but when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So no matter who God created you to be or with what type of spiritual anatomy he put inside of you, you play a part in the body of Christ. And you are vital to the health of that body. So the goal of every local church is to allow God to bring the parts of the body together, to structure them in a specific way so that they function and accomplish exactly what he wants them to. That's the purpose of him bringing us all together and why he calls us to be joined together in covenant community. But the question is, how do we get there? How do we get all these parts out here in this room that come from all different walks of life, that have all different kinds of philosophies about certain things, even the Bible? How do we get us all together where we function properly the way he has intended for us to? Well, he kind of gives us a process for that in Romans chapter 12, Paul does. So if you have your Bible, go with me to Romans chapter 12 this morning. That's going to be the main text that we focus on today. Romans chapter 12 is going to answer this main question. How do individual Christians find and assimilate themselves into a local church where they become part of the anatomy that Christ is building? See, here's what I believe. A lot of people, especially I think there's some people in this room today, need a paradigm shift in how they view church membership. The question, if I were to ask you all, and you don't have to raise your hand or answer out loud, but if I were to ask you all today, well, What does it look like to be a church member? What's required to be a church member? I'd get a lot of different answers. I would venture to say that probably, if you were to poll most American Christians, they would say this: well, have your name on a church roll somewhere, right? I'm a church member because I'm associated with a specific institution known as a church. But the Bible doesn't explicitly say that, right? You're not just a part of an association, right? You're not a name on a line. You are a member of a collective greater body. You're a part of the body. And when we think about it from that perspective, doesn't that change the importance of belonging to a local church? Look, churches function all day with people who have their name on a line that's not there. But let me take your arm or your eyes or your feet away from you and see how that affects your body. And the Bible teaches that the church is like that. So I want to have four steps I want to give you this morning from Romans chapter 12 that Paul gives us about how we become a part of the anatomy of Christ's body. So Romans chapter 12, we'll start with verses 1 and 2, two very popular verses. And if you've heard me teach on Romans 12 before, you know that Romans 12 is a very important chapter because it's a major division in the epistle, right? Chapters 1 through 11, Paul's been talking about what? The gospel, right? What it is and how it saves us. But then from chapters 12 through 16, he begins to say, so here's how you apply that to your life. Here's how the gospel changes you and how you go live that gospel out in the world. So he's given some action steps here, beginning in verse 1. So let's follow along with me, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So Paul begins this passage with what? An application, right? Therefore, remember, we see therefore in Scripture. We back up and see why it's what it's there for, right? And so he said, look, this is what the gospel is. Jesus Christ came and died for you when you were the most undeserving person in the world. He has taken you from being an enemy of God to a son and a daughter of God. He chose you before the foundations of the world and made you perfect and spotless in his grace. Now, how are you going to respond? That's what he says. So how now are you going to respond? Paul says, I'll tell you how. You give your body as a living sacrifice. You take your life in response to the mercy of the gospel, and you say, God, here I am. You do in and with me whatever you want. That is what a Christian does. And so let me ask you this question. What does that have to do with church membership? That sounds like a personal thing, right? Offering your body as a living sacrifice in response to the gospel. That sounds like something that's personal and doesn't really affect the church. Until you're reminded of what the church is. The church is a body of believers. So here's the first point I need you to understand. If we're going to become a part of the anatomy of the local church, I must first ensure that I'm a member of Christ before becoming a member of his church. Now, those of you who've been in church a while, who've been saved a long time, you may say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, you can't do that. I'll make a bold assumption, but I'd assume almost half of American church roles are filled with people who are not believers. And if you ask them, how's your relationship with the Lord? It's great. Go to church every Sunday. What's interesting is that there are some who haven't darkened the church door in months or maybe years. If you ask them about their spiritual state, they would say, well, I'm great. I'm a member of such and such church down there. It's kind of like You're a member of the Moose Lodge, right? So, you know, I might not go there much, but if I pay my dues every now and then, I still get certain benefits, right? And one of those benefits is I can throw their name out there when I need to. I'm still a member of such and such. I knew a lady one time who would refuse to go back to a certain church because she disagreed with what was going on, but she never would move her membership and she never would join another church because when she died, she would get to be buried in the church cemetery for free. Well, look, man, I don't know nothing about like them, but I'm not going to pay for my burial plot. I don't know if that's the best reason to stay there, right? But we laugh, but people do that all the time. I would wonder this morning if there might be some of us in here who have similar philosophies of church membership. And here's what I've observed. Don't get mad at me because I'm going to pick on the younger people in just a minute. But my older brothers and sisters, a lot of us, I hear these excuses from a lot of you guys. Because 50, 60 years ago, church membership was such an important thing that the church dumbed it down to, man, just walk down to the front, shake a preacher's hand, let everybody clap for you, and you're in. You're in. There's no spiritual examination. There's nothing to say, yeah, you're actually a believer, you're not. Now, here's what my generation does. My generation could care less about church membership. We don't want to be committed to anything, right? And so this pendulum has gone from one end to the other. And the reason that I bring this up is because it's so vital that you and I understand that we can slide our way into church membership, but you can't slide your way into being connected to the head of the body. You see, there's only one way to be connected to the head of a body. Listen, church membership is not salvation. There are many church members who will die and go to hell. And that's sad. But being a member of a church does not make you a part of the body of Christ. Let me ask you a question. What part of your body will continue to live and function if it's separated from the brain? It's a good answer. Unless you were a chicken, when your head is removed from your body, you don't move, right? That's Laura about the chickens. She'll tell you a story about the chickens one time. But the point is this. You and I cannot survive separated from the head. And who's the head? Christ. And listen, he doesn't care what your affiliations are as long as you are affiliated and united and identified with him. One more thing. I mentioned earlier, we can kind of slide our way into church membership, right? I mean, here, We feel like we've got a pretty good process, but man, you can come take the class. You can write down a testimony on your paper and listen to all we got to say, sign our covenant, and you can be a member of Pioneer Church. But here's what happens when you start to interject foreign things into the body of Christ. Those foreign things eventually begin to come to the head. To the top, don't they? Anybody ever had a splinter you couldn't get out of your hand? And you pick that thing and it won't come out? You leave it alone long enough, though, what's going to happen? Your body will get it out. You see, our body has an amazing ability to find the things in it that are not supposed to be in there and get them out. You know, I just did some research about a decade ago, and here's what they found out. They found out that a huge number of transplant recipients were not successful down the road. Like initially, they would take it, the transplant would be great, everything's good, but all of a sudden, man, their body just would have an adverse reaction to it. And so here's what they found. Scientists found that there was this protein in their body called a signal regulatory protein alpha. It's like the watchdog of your immune system. And your body is designed, it comes from your bone marrow, and it's designed to identify tissue in your body that's not yours. Isn't that amazing? and it will actually send a message to your white blood cells to go attack it. Because it's the body's way of fighting off what is foreign in it. Isn't that amazing that God designed our physical body that way? The church is no different. Listen to what the Apostle John said in 1 John 2. Dear children, the last hour is here, and you've heard that the Antichrist is coming. You know, we know who that is, right? That's the messenger of Satan who's going to come to deceive everybody at the end time. But listen to what he says. And already many such Antichrists have already appeared. Well, that's different. From this, we know that the last hour has come. Listen to this. These people left our churches, but they never really belonged to us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, it proved that they did not belong with us. You see, you can have people who are unbelievers who last for a long time in the church, but there is coming a time, if not before Christ, absolutely when Christ comes, when the church will be revealed as the true church, right? Remember the sheep and the goats, the wheat and the tares? We may not be able to see it. We may not be able to discern it, but you know who can? Our head. Our head knows who is a part of the body. So folks, we cannot enter the body of Christ unless we've received the head first. And so here's my question this morning to you. Do you belong to Jesus? Like, don't breeze over that. I know this is church and you're supposed to hear that question. But do you belong to Jesus? Not a church. Have you put your life in his hands and received forgiveness for your sins? Are you identified with him? Do you believe that when you stand before Almighty God and give an account for your life, that he will stand with you? That's salvation. And that is the only way that you become a part of the body. So do you belong to Jesus first? Don't leave here today if you can't answer that question. Let's sit down and talk about it. That's not the end of what Paul says in verses 1 and 2. So there's the ones that don't belong to the body of Christ, but then there are those who do, but are not living in accordance to how they've been called to live. Remember John 15, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branch, right? He uses this word, abide in me. What does that word abide mean? Stay connected, remain in me and I in you, and then you'll bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what, church? Nothing. Nothing. You see, it's not enough to just get connected to the head and then go rogue. I mean, have you ever seen a body walking this way and a leg trying to go this way? It doesn't work. Something has to give eventually. And so Paul is saying you need to give your life to Christ. Offer your life daily on the altar of his will. You want to know if you really belong to Jesus? Here's the question. Who calls the shots in my life, man? Who calls the shots in my life? Who is in the driver's seat of my life? Am I living in submission to what he wants me to? Or am I saying, hey, Jesus, I know you're the head, I'm the leg, I'm going to go this way, okay? You follow me. That's not offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. But not only that, and I'm going to get on a soapbox here, okay? Is that okay? Paul says, don't be conformed to this world. Now, we think about that mostly from a behavioral standpoint, right? Don't drink, cuss, and chew and go with girls that do, right? But it's way more serious than just behavior. He's not talking just about morality. You see, there's a philosophy in the world that the world has, that the world is living into, that we see very clearly, that Jesus has very clearly told us not to associate with. Well, what is that philosophy? Live it up, man. Eat, drink, be merry. Put me first, because we're all going to die one day, right? You see, the world's philosophy doesn't last more than 100 years. So everything that they live for and they strive for is going to burn up. So here's my question, Christian. If you are a follower of Jesus and you're laying your life down, if you are not being conformed to the pattern of this world, here's what that means. You're not prioritizing your life based upon the temporal things of the world. It means that you're living for the kingdom first. It means that you're prioritizing kingdom things first. Yeah, you go to work. You go to work so you can earn a living to take care of your family, to disciple them, to go be people of Christ who makes a difference in this world. Our philosophy of why we're here has to be completely different than the rest of the world. So here's my question, and it's a hard one. How much of your time away from this place, this church, is spent doing things that are going to make eternal differences? Or how much of your time is spent on things that won't matter in 50 to 100 years? You see, the answer to that question will tell you whether or not you're being conformed to the pattern of this world or whether you've been transformed in the renewing of your mind. You see, transformation in your mind means that you begin to think like Jesus. And you begin to have his priorities in your life. And so listen, man, here's what I see. And I just got to be honest because I love you and I'm your pastor and I'm supposed to do this. This is that part of caring for your soul. There are some of us who will say, man, I'll be here if I don't have anything else going on. Look, man, if it's raining and I got my umbrella, I'll come. If I don't have my umbrella, I can't come. Because look, man, we don't have a covered way to get here. You have to walk through the rain sometimes. I get it. But then if it's too sunny and we get sunburnt, we'll be here because it's cool. We got air conditioning. But if it's 65 and sunny and I got a boat, I'll listen to the podcast. Hey, man, listen to me. I'm really not picking on you. I'm just asking you to take a look at reality. Where are you, man? Woman, where are you? What's taking the majority of your time? What are you spending the hours of your life on? Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Don't chase things that don't matter in eternity. You have been bought with a price to give your life as an alien to this world and a citizen of heaven. That's who we are. Man, I'm not trying to sound legalistic here. But I think we do need to evaluate, man, do I truly belong to the head? Or is that just in word? Am I really connected to the head? Because listen, church, the body goes where the head goes. The body does what the head says to do. We can't overcomplicate that. There's no theological debate around that. It's just truth. And so Paul, man, he comes right for our heart in these two verses. So where are you spending your time on? Which kingdom are you promoting more? All right, I'm off my soapbox. I love you. I do. Let's go back to our text. Look at verses 3 and 4 this morning. So what does this have to do with the church? For by grace given to me, I say to everyone not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Oh, I thought we were done. But to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So here's the progression here. Paul says the proper response of a Christian is to give your bodies over to God as daily living sacrifice, not conforming to the world, being transformed, prioritizing the kingdom over the world. But where are we primarily to do that? Well, we can absolutely do it wherever we go, and we should. But man, where do we have the best chance of doing that? with people who are doing the same thing as us, right? Don't you believe that there are strength in numbers? Amen, right? Siri believes it. So give me the second step this morning, right? Here's the second step to becoming a part of the anatomy of the body. I've got to understand that I've been saved to be a benefit to the whole body. So here's what this means. You've given your life to Christ. Your life's no longer your own, right? But whose does it belong to? Of course, it belongs to Jesus. But if you were to give your life to Jesus, you know what he would spend your life doing? Serving others. You know why? Because the Son of Man came not to be served, but to what? But to serve and to give his life as a ransom. I have washed your feet. You call me Savior and Lord. And if I have done this for you, you go do that to others. You do likewise. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, that you have love for one another that is demonstrated by service. So if you belong to the church, that means that I'm an active part of the greater whole, right? And if I'm an active part of the greater whole, I cannot fall into the lie of believing that the church exists for me. Oh, boy. We live in a world where we get everything we want because we have choices, right? And if I don't like a certain thing, I go find the thing that I like, and I join that because it meets my needs. People say, I want a church that meets my needs, that meets the needs of my children. I want to find that church that God created just for me. Isn't that a contradiction to what we just read? Paul said, listen, you don't need to think of yourselves more highly than others. You see, everybody else's needs are just as important as your needs. So think with sober judgment. If we're to be a healthy part of the anatomy of the church, then we've got to understand the church does not exist for us. We exist to be the church. And a church is only as healthy and effective as you are. Listen, man, we could line up and every one of y'all tell me something you don't like about Pioneer Church, and I'll go first and tell you the things that are broken, the things that aren't working right, things we need to work on. But the reality is, when we say those things, do you know where the response comes to all those gripes and complaints? Right here. It's us. We're the church. Well, I don't like that. Well, I think it should be this way. Listen, man, you guys have phenomenal ideas to do things out in the community. I love to listen to your ideas. And this has not happened. But don't ever get to the place where go, man, it'd be real nice if we did this. Well, go do that. Somebody should go do that. You understand if God puts the idea in your heart, he's probably calling you to at least be a part of it. Because he put it in your heart. And if it advances the kingdom, I'm going to say, man, let's go. Don't expect me to be there for all of it. The church does not exist for us. We exist to be the church. There's another side of this point. So Paul's saying, don't be a consumer. But here's the second side of this point. Neither should we live in such a way to believe that we make it or break it for the church. Boy, if I didn't show up, this thing wouldn't happen. I'm very aware of how expendable I am to Pioneer Church. I am. If I fall over dead tomorrow, our good God's got somebody right behind me to come on in here. Because I don't make the sun rise and fall. And I don't make Pioneer Church what it should be. There is not a one person in this church that's holding this thing together. So we better not begin to think, I'm irreplaceable. I make this thing go here. Because Paul said, every one of you have been given a certain amount of faith and certain gifts. Isn't that interesting? He says, none of you have it all. You know what that means? And I'm learning this real slowly. Man, this is hard for me, but I'm learning this. I have weaknesses as a pastor. I have questions that I can't answer. I have decisions that I have a hard time making. There's directions that I don't know the path to. And it's because God has chosen to give me a portion of faith and gifts. Not all of it. You know why? Because he says he has dispersed it to all of us. And if we all come together and do it and use it the way we're supposed to, then the body works. So the church doesn't exist for us, and my role is only part of what's needed to make the church what God designed it to be. So remember this key point. The church doesn't exist to serve me. I exist to humbly serve the church. So you want to be a part of the body? Don't be a part of the body that thinks you're better than anybody else. But neither do you shirk your responsibility as a member of the body. We need you. Right? So number three, I got to learn to embrace my role. So what do I do? What is my role in the church? Would you not agree that it takes a lot of parts to make a church healthy and functional? Would you not agree? Have you ever thought about what a church could do without and still be an effective church? You ever thought about that? You know, someone say, well, I mean, if we don't sing, I don't know what we're doing here. We might as well go on home if we're not going to sing. Or we got to hear the word, right? That's important. Some would say, no, it's kids' ministry. If I don't have a place for my kids to go, I ain't coming. But the Bible says that no church is fully healthy and effective unless every member is actively involved in fulfilling their gifts. So here's what that means. Yes, there are more parts of the body that are more noticeable than the others, but none are more important. Look at verses 5 and 6. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. So you know what he's saying there? The structure of that sentence is saying, you cannot be who you're supposed to be without each other. We are individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. I want you to know something this morning. You walked into a building and were able to sit in a chair that was clean this morning. You can use that restroom and find that it is clean. You dropped your children off back there with responsible adults who love them and are going to teach them God's word. We were able to sing this morning because we have talented musicians and singers who led us this morning. You have a handout in your hand because someone wrote that handout to make the message better to understand, right? All of those things are available because of people using their gifts and abilities to benefit the body. We get here and we do the things that we do, not for ourselves, right? But for you. Because that's what part of the body, being part of the body, is about. The person who cleans the toilets or empties the trash is just as important as the guy standing up here preaching God's word. Sometimes he's the same person. As it should be. The day that I tell you I don't clean toilets is the day that you go find another preacher. Because we are servants of one another. Here's the good news, though. I don't have to clean toilets. Because there's somebody who steps up and does it. Because the body has people to make it work. So a very important part of becoming a part of the anatomy of the church is learning what kind of gifts of grace that you have. You don't have to raise your hand, but I wonder, how many of you know what your spiritual gifts are? How many of you even knew you have spiritual gifts? Some of us go, I don't know what that is. When you get saved, when you become a follower of Jesus, he gives you gifts. Gifts of his grace that are being used for the benefit of the body. And so many of us don't know what those gifts are. And so part of becoming a follower or part of the anatomy of Christ is learning what those gifts are. And it's your responsibility to learn those. So God created you with the personality that you have, and he's given you the abilities that you have because there's a specific place in this body that he wants you to be. And listen, this is so important. He did not create somebody else to take your position in the church. He has put you where he wants you specifically for the time that he wants you there. And so, man, here at Pioneer Church, we have tried to do our best to help people and find out how God has wired them and what he has gifted them with. You're going to hear more about this in just a minute. But we created a class here called Pioneer Pathways. It's our membership class. And if you come to the membership class, part of that is that you will take home with you a spiritual gifts inventory. So it's this big, long questionnaire. Ask you all the things that you like, you don't like, things you're good at, things you're not good at. And you kind of rank them up, and it helps you discern how God has gifted you to serve in the body. We also give you a personality test so that we know what we're getting into with you. But also so that you know how to fit in this body. Some of you are lions. You know what that means? You take charge, man. And so it's real hard to put two lions together to do something. But here's what we found out. God gifts people a certain way, and he gives them certain personalities so that when we put them together the right way, it fits and it works just like your body fits together, right? And so we want to do all that we can to help you find that out. And so we do that through our membership class. And so I'm going to talk about that here in just a second, but I want you to answer this key question this morning. Do I know what part of the body God has created me to be? Like, do you know? And am I fulfilling that role here at Pioneer Church? Do I know what he's called me to be, and am I fulfilling that role? Number four, and we'll be done. This last step of fitting into the anatomy of the local church is this, and it's a long one. I must actively seek to perform my functions in the body three ways. With excellence, not perfection, but excellence, and a concern for the health of the whole body and fulfillment of our purpose in the world. So being a functional part of the anatomy of Christ builds up and makes the body healthy. But why is it important that the body of Christ be healthy? Why are we here? For the people out there. We're not a country club, man. Like, we're not an exclusive members-only place where we come in here and we put the shades down and don't nobody get to know what's going on in here. We come in here to get equipped on Sunday to go show the world what it's like to follow Jesus. The question is, what are we showing them? If we're unhealthy, we're going to go show the world what they don't want to be a part of, right? Look, man, there's too many places to fight, right? Church shouldn't be one of them. There's too many places to backstab and gossip. Church shouldn't be one of them, right? So we come in here to be healthy so that we can go out there and be a light to the world. Here's what he says. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And so what is he saying? If you find out what you're supposed to do, don't go, hey man, I got the gift of prophecy, and never use it. What good is that for your bringing glory to God, for the edification of the church, or for the equipping of the saints to go do ministry? None, right? Paul says, if you got them, use them. And there's three reasons for that I want to give you, and then we're done. First, it glorifies God. When you use your gifts, you glorify God. That's a big deal, if you didn't know that. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So first and foremost, everything you do is an offering our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. So you fulfill your purpose in the body of Christ for the glory of God first. Here's the second thing. It builds up the body. It builds up the body. We encourage and strengthen one another when we use our gifts. Ephesians 4:16. When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow. So that it builds itself up in what, church? In love. Now, what does love accomplish? The fulfillment of the law. It covers a multitude of sins, right? Don't you think the world needs some love? Amen. So here's what we find out. When I fulfill my role with excellence and care for the body, it provides the things that the rest of the body needs to survive. I keep using anatomy. But you think about your lungs. What's the purpose of your lungs? Air exchange puts oxygen in your what? In your blood. What other parts of your body need blood? All of it. What if the lungs one day said, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm done. Then you're done, right? Amen. But man, when it's working properly, your body's healthy. No different in the body of Christ, right? Number three, final thing that my role in the church accomplishes. It allows the church to shine the light of the gospel in the world. You guys understand this. This is so important. And I'm going to share the scripture with you in a second. God created and designed the church to show the world something that it never is going to get any other way, in any other place. Think about how broken relationships are in the world, even in marriages. How broken we are. But yet he has called us the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ because our relationship with the Father and with each other shows us how a good groom loves and cares for his broken, ugly bride, and how he gives his life to serve her and love her, and we get to show the world what that looks like. Nowhere else is going to show marriages what that looks like. We get to show the world what it looks like to operate in unity and in harmony with each other, having differences but not making the differences the thing that unites us, right? Being able to unite around one important thing. But here's the most important thing. Listen to this. This is Ephesians chapter 3. And I don't have time to explain it all, but here's what Paul says. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me, this gift was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's Paul's role in the body of Christ, right? And to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. Today, you and I are benefiting from Paul's part in the anatomy of the body of Christ because we just read Romans, right? But listen to why this is important. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God, the plans and purposes of God, might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Now, who do you think that is? Who are the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places? Angels. Not just the good ones, but the bad ones. Here's what this is saying. The relationship that you and I have with each other in the church, united under the gospel of Jesus Christ, is a relationship with God that angels can't have. Anybody ever asked this question? Well, what if Satan decided to repent? Do you think God would forgive him? Anybody ever heard that question? Maybe you thought about it, right? It is impossible for angels to repent. It's impossible for angels to believe the gospel and be saved. They're either servants of God or servants of the devil, right? And so here's what Paul's saying. We have a relationship with each other and with Jesus that the angels look at and they marvel at what we have with him. Wow. They see a side of God through the church that they can't see any other way. But not only that, the church stands as a testimony to Satan and his demons of what's happening down the road. That they do not win. Remember what Jesus said? to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You can't keep the church from doing what God called it to do. Amen? Well, we look like a hot mess sometimes, but we're still going where he wants us to go. Amen? And it's because he's created us to be an example, an extension of the body of his son Jesus, so that every time Satan looks at us, he gets mad. You know why? Because he knows that he's losing when he looks at the church. Be encouraged this morning, Pioneer Church. We're winning. It may not look like it, it may not feel like it, but we are winning. And all we got to do is stay connected to the head and to follow him, and he will make us into the body that changes the world. Man, I truly believe that with all my heart. God's got plans for Rockingham County through this church. God's got plans for the world through this church. And it ain't so that we can stick our chest out and go, ooh, look at us. It's so that we can say, glory to God, we are being used by him for the kingdom. But here's the main question. Are you going to be a part of it? Many of you sat through this series and heard a whole lot of information, and you still might walk out of here and go, nah, this ain't for me. I disagree with you. I think that this is absolutely vital to your walk with Jesus. I think that you will have a really hard time following Christ outside of the blessing of the church. I do. And we can agree to disagree, but I'm right. And I say that under the authority of the scriptures, not me. Not me. But here's the question, man. What decision about the church do you need to make today? I have said after just about every sermon that, man, I have come to the end of my words, right? I've said that all that God has given me to say to you, and the Holy Spirit has to take over after that, and I trust him that he will. But there's some things that I'm going to call you to do today. Here's the first one. Maybe you've been coming here, and you've been coming here for a while, and you're not a member of our church. Maybe you're not a member because you've been burned. Man, I get it. Maybe you're not a member because you haven't seen or understood the importance of it. I get it. But here's what we're gonna do. If you're not a member of our church, I want to give you the opportunity to take the next step in that. And so what that looks like is October 23rd and October 30th, we'll have our Pioneers Pathway class. We'll feed you lunch for free. We'll feed your kids lunch for free. But here's what we ask, that you come in and for about an hour after service each week, two things. You learn about who we are, what God's called us to do as a church. And then the second thing is you learn whether or not you fit into what God's called us to do here. Listen, we understand not everybody's called to be a part of this body. We want to help you find the body that you're supposed to be a part of. So maybe you've been coming and you're not a member and you need to come take that class. Listen, you take the class, that doesn't mean you're a member. We have people who've taken the class and they're like, I don't know, I'm going to wait. That's okay. But you're going to find out some important things about you and about our church in that class. Maybe you're here and you have taken the class and you need to sign the covenant. Maybe it's time for you to say, yes, this is the place that I'm going to trust my life with to hold me accountable, to come under spiritual authority, to belong to fit into, to be a part of the body of Christ. Maybe you need to do that. For those of you who are here and you are a member, and even for those who are on the fence, I gave you a card when you came in, a little card. I want you to take it out. And you say, man, I've been here and I'm a member and I just really don't do anything but come on Sunday. I like that, but the Holy Spirit's telling me there's some stuff that I need to be doing that I'm not doing. On that card, I want you to put your name and I want you to put your information. And those are some things right now, today, we can put you in a place of service. These are things that we need here at Pioneer Church. And so look, if you put that down and you check it, that doesn't mean we're going to immediately sign you up and say, hey, we need you to serve in kids next week. That's not what we're doing, but we want to talk with you and help you understand what we're needing and where you fit in. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at that. I want you to mark on that paper where you feel like God would have you get involved. And listen, there's greeters and ushers on there. There's tellers that help count the offering. There's people who clean the church. There are people who sing. There's all of them. Listen, remember, none of them is more important than the other, right? You hear me say this all the time. My brother Larry, I just love Larry to death. Let me tell you what, when you walk up into Pioneer Church, you're going to get a smile, a handout, and a green piece of candy. Because he loves you. And he is glad that you're here. Can I tell you that there are a lot of Sundays he's more important to a lot of people that walk through these doors than anybody else, especially me? Because he might be the first person that smiled at you all week. And that matters. That matters. So I want you to take that card. I want you to fill it out. I just want you to leave it in your seat when you're done. You ain't got to hand it to me. You don't have to do anything with it. But do something with it. Okay? Let's be a part of what God is building at Pioneer Church. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your word. God, I thank you for these people. I thank you for their willingness to listen to me as I try to take what your word says and rightly divide it and explain it accurately, correctly. Thank you for their patience with me as I try to shepherd them the way that you've called me to be. But Lord, the reality is we have some decisions to make today. We can walk away from this series and say, I'm good where I'm at. I'm just going to keep coming, and when it's convenient, and I'm going to do a little bit when I can or when I feel like it, but the truth is I don't really want to go the way the rest of the body's going. Father, I just pray right now that in your love for us, in your care for us, that you care about our eternity, that you care about our joy and peace on this earth, that you would not allow your people to continue to say no to being a part of your body. Father, this is certainly not a means of boosting our attendance or membership. That's not what we're about. It's about the body called Pioneer Christ having every part that you've called it to have, fulfilling its role. And so, Lord, for some of us, that means we need to take that next step and walk through the process of membership here, of understanding what it means. And so, God, I just pray that you would allow them, give them the courage to sign up on the sheet. God, that you would, Lord, convict those that need convicting. God, that you would assure those, Lord, who are scared, who are afraid, those who've been jaded and hurt by the church. God, would you give them the courage to give it one more shot, knowing that we're not perfect, but God, we desire to be the body that you've called us to be. So Lord, as we sing this final song of worship to you, God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would do what he does. Convict, lead, comfort, and that we would respond to what you tell us to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.